My brother Bill Halliday.
In Acts chapter 4 and verse 24.
We should commence our reading at verse 23. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, or thy holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And the Lord will bless his word to us. Having been reared in the city of Belfast, received into Adam Street Assembly in 1940, one cannot help but look around today with a very, very sad heart indeed to see the decline there is in testimony in the city today. It's not as it once was. So much so that one gets down before God to search one's own heart, to find some reason for such a state today. Some years ago in Africa, I received a gift. It was sent to me from England. The gift brought no joy whatsoever. I mentioned that when I wrote to the brother concerned. It had to do with the disbursement of gifts, of money, that had been received for the sale of a gospel hall in a town in England. I thought it was very, very sad that one time an assembly met there and was no more. I wonder, is that going to happen in the city of Belfast? I have made it my business to visit around some of the assemblies, and it is heartbreaking to see the condition that prevails in some of them today. I admire fully the steadfastness of the few brethren and sisters who meet in those halls, endeavouring by God's grace to maintain a testimony to the glory and honour of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their faithfulness is beyond my comprehension. I cannot understand how they can be so faithful in such conditions. But there they are. Week after week they meet, small in number, with nothing to encourage whatsoever. But they keep going on. There are reasons for it, of course. People have left, they have gone elsewhere to live, and they have left the few to hold the reins to maintain a testimony that was once maintained by quite a large number of brethren and sisters. We do look back, and we cannot help but look back, to the days when the gospel halls were full. To go on a Sunday morning, well, if one didn't want to sit on a front seat, they had to be early. But now you can go and find a seat just where you please. One assembly I know, I was told that the few brethren that are there, the majority are in their 70s, except for two younger men with their wives. Now, what is the outcome of it to be? Brethren and sisters, I believe this, as our brother Martin mentioned in Craigie Street last evening, it's a matter of waiting before God. We still have the same God who's upon the throne. We have the same Holy Spirit who lives and abides within each one of us. And He is able to do the work which He was sent to do. But the big question is this, are we allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work which He has been sent into the world to do? We look here at these few verses. This is a passage which is under consideration in the Bible reading in Adam Street Hall. I was certainly concerned about the city, and it lay heavily upon me. And one Tuesday evening, our brother McKee mentioned this. We should really be praying for the testimony in Belfast today. And it does lay heavily upon us. And I do trust that through my few remarks this evening, that all gathered here this evening will be likewise burdened, and they will be determined on leaving this hall this evening, that they will spend time before God in prayer on behalf of this city, so that a testimony will be maintained that will bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved in the city. The man who spoke to me was in Manchester Street Assembly. I'd never been to a gospel meeting until after I got saved. And the man who taught me the truths of gathering was in the Bloomfield meeting, perhaps in Albert Bridge Road then. I noticed his son sitting in the front row of the meeting. And I am indebted to those two brethren now with the Lord, the one for explaining so simply to me the way of God's salvation. I had no problem in believing that Christ died for me. My problem was giving up the world. Letting go that which I held on to dearly. And I'm thankful too that I responded to the teaching of baptism and gathering to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have never wavered from that. I have kept going on by the grace of God to see something done in Africa to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ, just as I was taught here in the city of Belfast. Now, we'll go back, first of all, if you note here in verse 31, and when they had prayed, you see there was that opposition to the gospel, and we find the saints praying from verse 24 onward. And then, after they had prayed, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. But notice what it says in verse 32. And our brother Martin emphasized this last evening too. They were of one heart and of one soul. He mentioned from Psalm 133 the unity that there must be among the people of God. Now, we go back to John's Gospel for references as to the Holy Spirit and His work. I have mentioned this in one assembly I visited just very, very briefly indeed. And if you note in verse 26 of chapter 15, "And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father." Now note, "He shall testify of me." That is the work of the Holy Spirit. "He shall testify of me." And further, brethren and sisters, let us grasp this precious truth in verse 27. "And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." Now, first of all, we have the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And it says, "He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness." Now, in chapter 16, we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. And I'm sure all of us who preach the gospel have made reference to these verses of Scripture in chapter 16. And it says in verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, we know that the Lord did depart. We know, too, that the Holy Spirit was sent. Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And further it says, "And when he is come," that is the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the person who is one with the Father and with the Son, co-equal with the Father and with the Son. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is the three in one, the one Godhead with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. "And when he is come," that is, into the world, "he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Of judgment, because the prince of this world hath been judged. Now here we have the workings of the Holy Spirit. And we who are saved tonight, we can look back to that time when we too were brought under the power of the Spirit of God, and that by conviction, letting us see what we were before a holy God. Now we go on down these verses, verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." Now we are thankful that so far as the Scriptures are concerned, we know that in Bible readings, they present an awful lot of problems to us when they're opening up passages of Scripture. But let us look at it from this point of view, brethren and sisters, that the Spirit of truth has been sent, and he will guide us into all truth. As I open my Bible and as I read it, it is up to me to get down before God and seek the help of the Spirit of God in my understanding of the Scripture. You know, we're so lazy at times, and we're apt to go to a bookshelf and pull out a book to try and find help on a certain portion of Scripture. But you know, you find that if you have a problem with a portion, the man who has written the book has had the same problem and perhaps doesn't mention it at all. So the best remedy is this: to get down before God, seek the help of the Spirit of truth, who will guide you into all truth. You know, there is that oneness mentioned here in Acts chapter 4. They were of one spirit and of one soul. Isn't it sad to see the differences there are among the people of God today, even on very important subjects. We do differ, and I feel that if we depended more upon the Holy Spirit to guide us, there wouldn't be those differences, that we would all be of one accord. We would be of one mind. But we go down this. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now verse 14 is most important. He shall glorify me. The Lord Jesus Christ, the speaker, referring to the Holy Spirit, first of all, his work in the world, convincing of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then it says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. We can be sure of this, brethren and sisters. The man who is upon a platform speaking by the Holy Spirit will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never attempt to take away from the deity of our blessed Lord. He will exalt him. He will, by the Spirit of God, bring before the people the great work that was done on Calvary's cross. His burial and his resurrection. And I'm sure of this, that God will bless a work that is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we all preach the gospel. And what troubles me is this. And I can say this honestly before I carry on what I was going to say. After a gospel meeting, I am really disappointed when no one gets saved. You're on a platform. You have helped to preach the gospel. You feel that the Holy Spirit is working. The scriptures are brought clearly before you. There are no problems whatsoever in the proclamation of the word. And yet, you go to the door and you're expecting someone to say, I've got saved as I was sitting upon the sink. But alas, they go past you. And you know they're not saved. Their heads are down. They give you a clammy hand to take a hold of. And there they go on their own sweet way. Brethren, we should, in preaching the gospel, be looking every evening for souls to be saved. Not to be surprised when someone gets saved, but to be disappointed when no one gets saved. You see, the Spirit of God was sent to work, and I believe he is working. But we must know too that all men have not faith. But we are sure of this, that there must be many more sheep in the city of Belfast waiting to hear his word, to respond to the shepherd's call, to accept him as their saviour. I was having a Sunday evening meeting in a place once just before I went back to Africa. And I mentioned to the brother who had invited me to the hall, are you not thinking of having gospel meetings here? I am sure that there are folk in that meeting tonight wanting to be saved. You should consider this and have meetings. He paid no heed to it. I was away for a number of years, came back. And I remembered what had taken place on a meeting. I asked him the question, did you have meetings? And he said, no, we didn't have meetings. But let me say, the Baptist people had meetings. And girls who were in my Sunday school class went to those meetings. And they got saved at those meetings. And they're now with the Baptist. Brethren and sisters, there must be an exercise before God. There must be that waiting before himself, so that we will know when God would have us have meetings and to see his name honoured and glorified in this way. Now, just to go on quickly, the next chapter 1, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. Note what it says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here we have the Holy Ghost mentioned. When he has come upon you, ye shall have power. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now here we have the proof of Scripture that when the Spirit of God is come, there will be power in witnessing in the gospel. Now, so far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that the assembly is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Note what it says here, "Know ye not that ye are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" That is, in the assembly, the Spirit of God dwells. We turn to chapter 6 and verse 19. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own?" First of all, the assembly is a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Further, each individual is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit dwells within me. He dwells within the assembly. So, what are we to do? Are we to ignore this and go on as defeatists, knowing that the world is powerful? But remember, the Lord himself said, "All power is given unto me, and lo, I am with you always." At the end of Mark's Gospel, we have there the commission, and it says, "And the Lord working with them." Not only have we the Holy Spirit, who enables us to preach the Gospel, who has been sent to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, but the Lord is also working with us. So, brethren and sisters, we are really without excuse insofar as our inability to see people reached and saved and assemblies built up. My, I admire my brethren and sisters. I have been with some of them, just few number, out in the streets, say in the Donegal Road or off the Craigie Road, and in Adam Street too they go around. We thank God for that. Even they are few in number, low, discouraged at times, they keep going on. And brethren, if we don't pray for them, I am sure of this, we will be accountable for it at the judgment seat of Christ. Here is a need, and the need is great. And what are we going to do about it? Oh yes, we can sit here and we can listen to the ministry in Bible readings. We can listen to ministry too from the Epistle to the Hebrews and other epistles. But are we getting ministry that's going to get into our souls and urges to get out of the streets of Belfast with the gospel, so that men and women, boys and girls will be saved and assemblies will be built up to the glory and honour of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we going to allow them to die and be no more? I was in Old Park just a few weeks ago, and how pitiful. There is that large hall, must seat 400 to 500 people, and there they meet in the little anteroom. I know outside there are those large barricades. We know the problems that they're faced with there. But brethren, we should be praying for that company, that God will enable them to see the work done. Can't we remember what Ebenezer was like on the Old Park Road? Can't we remember going there as young believers and listening to the gospel preached? Oh, can't we remember too going to the large tent in the city of Belfast, and away down in the grove and other parts, when our late brother Knox preached the gospel, when thousands gathered to hear the word of God? Listen, as our brother Martin mentioned last evening, waiting before God, about the times they had the meetings in Craigie Street, the prayer meetings which they had. You know, we've mentioned a large tent to be erected in the Armour Park. Let me remind our brethren of the Armour Road. Way back in the war years, When Mr. Knox had the meetings in High Street, the tent was opened at about 7 o'clock in the morning. Men going to the shipyard went in and they prayed. The tent was opened again at the lunch hour. And men at their lunch hour went in and they prayed. And when they were going home at night after a hard day's work, the tent was opened again and they were gathered again to pray. And that's how the meetings were conducted in those days. Men and women waited before God, and God's name was honored. Souls were saved. But what about it today? You know, we go into Acts, and we see the work that was done here. They were one heart, and they're one soul. There was unity here, unity of purpose. And how thankful to see such a work done for God. But Satan works too. And you know, we're very frail in ourselves. It doesn't take much to knock us back. It doesn't take very much to keep us from the throne of grace. And when we look here at what took place in chapter 5, how that this pair, they lied to the Holy Ghost. And you know, that was the commencement of the downward trend in this portion of the Scriptures. And then we go on to chapter 6, and we find, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, note, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians, a murmuring among the people of God. You know, let us wait for a moment. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Would it be possible that we too have done the same thing? Promised to do certain things to God and we didn't do them. We lied to the Holy Spirit. There are no conscripts so far as God is concerned. My going to Africa, I offered myself to go. I saw the need in Africa. God took me at my word and he sent me. And I thank God for a very, very happy life out there. There was no such a thing then as lying to the Spirit of God, accepting that which I had promised to do. You know, we could live in a condition where we could lie to the Spirit of God and hinder the work of the gospel. Then there's the murmurings. And you know, we know the murmurings that have gone on over the years in certain assemblies. We're not going to mention certain things. It would be too obvious if I did. But some in the meeting may remember the conditions in one place. How that there were the murmurings against the older brethren in the assembly. And what about that assembly today? Was our brother Martin mentioned last evening? And I'm sure he'll forgive me for quoting what he said. There must be a unity of purpose. There must be that oneness among the people of God of a work to be done at all. If there's murmurings, if there are disputings, how can we expect the Holy Spirit to work? We cannot expect him at all. We must be of one spirit and of one soul if we are to see a work done for God at all. We turn over. I'm trying, pity there's no clock, but we're trying to be as brief as possible. We turn to chapter 20 of Acts. And we note here how the apostle could say, I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. And then in verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, when we look at this, I am pure from the blood of all men. I can remember as a young believer, I used to pray every morning that the Lord would lead me to some soul today and teach me just what to say. And you know, in those days, it was a great joy to speak to men with whom we worked and to see some of them saved. And to note, even today, They're still on the way to heaven, rejoicing in God's salvation. Excuse me for referring back to your late brother Knox. I can't help it. We've all, my age, why we have been influenced by the labours of that man. It's reported. One day he was on the Castlereagh Hills in his old age, overlooking the city of Belfast, and he said, "I am free from your blood. Free from your blood." We know his labours in the city, and we are sure of this, that what he said was absolutely true. Am I free from the blood of all men? Those with whom I have come in contact with, have I been fearless in telling them the way of God's salvation? You know, it's so easy to say, well, I don't have a tract in my pocket today, and it's very difficult to speak to someone if you haven't something to hand to them. Brethren, don't let us make excuses to ourselves. It's our responsibility. Now, goes on in verse 28 about the elders. But then in verse 29, note, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, watch." You see, there is always that element today that will go against the ways of the Lord. And through others paying heed to them, an assembly can be brought down very low spiritually indeed. You know, these men who were listening to Paul on that day were the elders of Ephesus. And when we look at the Ephesian epistle, and we read of certain things in that epistle, but very, very briefly, the very last verse of that epistle. And it is very, very important indeed. If you're to look at the letter to Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, note what it says in verse 24 of chapter 6. "Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. That is a love that never dies. And God's grace is promised to be with them that love him with a love that without death, if I may put it that way. Loving him as we should love him. You know, brethren, when we look back to what we were when we were outside of Christ, how that in grace we were drawn to himself, saved out of a wicked, sinful world, brought into the family of God, and then placed into an assembly of God's people. And we're thankful for what he has done for us. How could we ever get cold in heart and away from himself? But we turn over very, very quickly to what we have in these letters to the seven churches in Revelation. In chapter 2, we have the letter to Ephesus. And you note what the Lord had against them there. It said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." My, what a state to be in. And look what the Lord said would happen to them if they didn't repent. There was the removing of the lampstand. The removal of the lampstand. What a price to pay for our wanderings away from the Lord and not loving him as we should love him. Not appreciating what he did for us on Calvary's cross. The lampstand to be removed. You know, I'm not looking at any of the assemblies in Belfast and saying that they have left their first love. I look into my own heart, and I'm sure of this, that the Holy Spirit would want us all to search our own hearts this evening and to see how we stand in the light of this. Do I love the Lord as I did that day when I got saved? Do I appreciate him
as I ought to appreciate him? Am I growing day by day into a deeper appreciation of the Lord and what he did for me on Calvary's cross? That's what it should be. But these saints, they left their first love. And the lampstand, well, it would be removed. Today at Ephesus, is there an assembly? I have never been there. I do not know. I've never heard of one been there. But there it is, brethren and sisters. They left their first love. You know, it is very, very sad. When we get among us people, they're not of the same spirit. They're not of the same soul. They're not one with their brethren and sisters. And they would try and introduce things because of the lack of power that they know that they are lacking. That is, they do not feel the power of the Spirit of God within themselves and in the assembly. And then they wish to introduce things among the people of God that are contrary to the mind and will of God. In a Bible reading, one brother said, I didn't say it, he said it, that we're now in the Laodicean state. And you know, perhaps in some cases that is very, very true indeed. In a Laodicean state. And you know, that is very, very sad indeed. I read the scripture to that brother. I said, note what it says in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. There is always that way into the presence of the Lord, to have that fellowship with himself. Bringing in the world into an assembly. We note on the telegraph on a Sunday evening, that's sad, and you'll excuse me for mentioning these things, but they will never build up to bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. You may bring in the instrumental music, you may bring in sports for young people and other things to try and keep hold of them, but it will never produce that which will bring glory and honor to our blessed Lord. That is only a sign of terrible spiritual poverty among those who are introducing certain things. And we note that so far as these people at Laodicea were concerned, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. My, what a terrible judgment to be passed upon a company because of their lukewarmness. Neither cold nor hot, a mixing of that which is spiritual and that which is worldly. But let us see, and with this we must close, and so far as Philadelphia is concerned, and you know, we do get encouragement from this. It says here in verse 10, because thou hast kept my word. And you know, for some of the small companies in Belfast today, and I'm sure of this, they have only one desire, to keep the word of God. Because thou hast kept my word, the word of my patience. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word. Here they had kept the word of God. And I'm sure of this, that there are companies in Belfast. They are small in number. They are faithful day after day. And they keep the word of God. And hast not denied my name. They uphold that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They desire none other, and they keep the word of God. They have not denied his name. And note, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that thou hast loved me. And then, behold, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee in the hour of temptation. Now, we know what that means, but let us apply it in this way, brethren and sisters. He will keep those who honor His word. He will keep those who honor His name, and those who endeavor by the power of the Spirit of God to maintain a testimony. Although the days are difficult, although numbers are few, people, few may gather for a gospel meeting, but brethren and sisters, let us hold tenaciously to the ways of the Lord and depend entirely upon the Spirit of God and not innovations that the world has introduced among themselves. Let us leave those things in the world, but let us hold on to our God. And let us do as our brother Martin exhorted us last evening in Craigie Street, to wait upon our God, and how good and how pleasant it is when brethren to dwell together in unity. And the only unity there can be is the unity that is brought about through our obedience to the Word of God. They held steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers.